What a mighty God we serve. And what a blessing to hear our little ones raising their voices and proclaiming, my God is so big, there's nothing he can't do. Amen. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for this time together. I thank you for the beautiful sunshine, Lord, and the warmth and the blessings that just surround us constantly. Lord, I pray that you would bless this morning as we open your word, that you would remind us and encourage us and strengthen us, and that you would just be here in our midst, and that you would be the one to speak and to teach us this morning. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, yesterday, excuse me, I might have to get a cough drop. Yesterday, I ended up not going to take Ryan out for his birthday because I was just not feeling good enough, and Lydia ended up doing that instead of me, and I stayed home with Jubilee and Ryan, which was fun. Jubilee and Billy. Anyway, when Billy got up from his nap, he was slowly waking up, and we ended up sitting together and watching a little documentary on Australia and the animals and the terrain and everything there. And it's really, really amazing. I didn't know very much about Australia or how much of it is desert, dry, arid, or at least semi-arid. And it's interesting to realize how large that country is and how much of it is arid. And yet, it's not arid like the Sahara, because it's semi-arid, most of it. It actually does get rain from time to time. It's very, very dry, but it does actually get rain from time to time. And there, probably as much as, if not more than, just about anywhere else in the world, you can see very clearly, and the animals that live there and the people that live there, they can see very clearly that water equals life. When you're in a dry climate, water equals life and growth, all of those things. In the spiritual life, it's no less. And we read about how the Bible talks about the water of the Word. It talks about Jesus Christ as being the water. It talks about the Holy Spirit as the water, I believe, in at least one circumstance. But water always brings and signifies life. And this morning I want to open to a passage in Ezekiel chapter 47. And I've wanted to preach this passage for a long time, but didn't feel like I could necessarily do it justice. And I still don't think I can. But by God's grace, hopefully we can find and be blessed and encouraged and strengthened and challenged by the things that are here in Ezekiel chapter 47. And I'm just going to start out, just read a little bit, and then we'll talk, and then I'll read a little bit, and then we'll talk. And Ezekiel chapter 47, beginning with verse 1, Ezekiel here is having a vision, and there's quite a few visions that Ezekiel has throughout the book of Ezekiel that God gives him to give understanding to his people of many different things. And here, Ezekiel's having a vision, and he says, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. This would be the temple, the house of God. And behold, waters issued or started out, came from under the threshold of the house of God eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Interesting to note here, the altar is a place of sacrifice. That's what an altar is. And when we think of the water of life that God provides to us, it comes to us through and because of and from the sacrifice of Christ. So the source of this water is the altar. It's coming from under the altar. That's where it's coming from. It starts at the sacrifice. And I believe it's very important and to note and to realize, and you know, not that it's new information for any of us, but a reminder that life, any spiritual life at all, comes from and begins with and bases from the sacrifice of Christ. It has to. It always will. It always has. All the life that you and I can have spiritually comes from Christ's sacrifice. That's where it generates from. So he says this water came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Verse 2, then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. That's kind of a lot of old English words way of saying he took me out around the wall to where the water comes out from under the city now. Now, I saw where it started. It initiates from underneath the altar where the sacrifice was made, and now it's proceeded through the city. It's proceeded under the wall, and now the angel who is showing him this vision has taken him out around outside of the wall and shows him now where this water proceeds from under the wall from outside of the city. Verse 3 says, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Verse 4, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins, or to the waist. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me again and caused me to return to the brink of the river. This, I believe, is a allegory or an analogy of our Christian experience, our walk with God. We, when we start out, we are redeemed and we are purchased and we are given that earnest, as we spoke this morning, that earnest or that down payment of our adoption. We are now being brought into and being made part of the family of God through that sacrifice of Christ Jesus. And we are now being brought and placed in this river of life. It's this, if you think of the arid, dry desert drought of the entire world spiritually, it's dry. There's nothing there. There's no substance. There's nothing to really give you any satisfaction to your thirst. We read last week in Psalm 45 about how the psalmist said, my soul and longs and thirsts and pants after the water of God, after God, like a deer pants for the water. And if you look around, and if you've lived in our world at all, you can look around and you can testify and you can see and you can clearly say, yeah, there's no water out there. There's no life. There's no refreshment. There's nothing spiritually invigorating. There's nothing to bring you alive. There's nothing to sustain you. This world is dry and empty. It's like a desert. It's dry. It's parched. The ground is cracked. There's nothing there. And it was interesting as we were watching this documentary about this part of Australia, how even the air is so dry that the air itself sucks any little bit of moisture that's in the ground out of the ground and makes it even drier because the air is so dry. And that's true of the world we live in. The environment of the world that we live in is so against the water of life, against Jesus Christ, against anything true and living and real, that it sucks any little bits of drops of water that you might could find. It sucks it up. It evaporates it. and it doesn't rain it back down. This is and was the experience of every unsaved person. And brother or sister, if you're here this morning and you are saved, I expect and I believe that you could testify, yes, that ground out there is dry. Dry as a desert. It's deathly dry. There's no sustaining life. There's nothing to whet your thirst. There's nothing to satisfy it. That it reminds me of the man in the parable that Jesus told who was in hell suffering, and he said, I beg you for just one drop of water. So dry. Yeah, great. It would be great to have a gallon, but that's unrealistic. I'd just be happy with one drop, just one drop. And this is the reality of the world around us without God. And brother and sister, through the sacrifice of Christ, we can be brought and adopted, redeemed, and placed into this river which flows from that sacrifice. A river of life. A river of life. And it's amazing. You start out your Christian life and you're in this water, and it's beautiful. It's amazing. Coming from a dry desert, a cup of water is amazing. And here we see as this prophet has been taken outside the city now, and he's placed in this river. It's to his ankles, and he's enjoying it. It's beautiful. It's clear. It's refreshing. It's cool to his feet. He's been walking around out in the dry, dusty desert, and it's washing away that dust, and it's refreshing his feet that are chapped and cracked and broken and sore from this life in this world of dry and just parched, cracked earth. And it's wonderful and it's amazing. But God's purpose and God's desire for his people is not to stay there. God's purpose and God's desire for his people is that they begin to walk forward in this river. And it's a growing. It's a growing day by day through the course of our life. He says that the angel that was with him, he says he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought him through the waters and whoa, it's to the knees. It's deeper. I thought water to the ankles was amazing, and it was. It was life-giving. It was refreshing. It was so good and so satisfying, and it quenched. It began to quench this dry, aching thirst in my soul and my spirit, and that's wonderful, and I'm reveling in it, and I'm thrilled with it. But water to the ankles got nothing on water to the knees. Wow. This is amazing. God's goodness. I'm growing. I'm experiencing more. I'm learning more. I'm going deeper in the Word. I'm having more experience walking with the Lord. And I now understand the depth of God's love more than I ever did before. Wow. There's water more than just to the ankles. There's water to the knees. This is amazing. This is so just mind-blowing, coming from not a drop, a dry, absolutely parched, desolate region, which is where you and I live and existed, a living death outside of Jesus Christ. Water to the ankles is amazing. Water to the knees? Wow. You can get wet in that. You can drink and drink, and you know that's not going to run dry. There's water. You can splash around. You can play. It's cooling. It's refreshing. It's so good and energizing. But God does not intend for his people to remain in water to their knees. Water to the knees is great for that time. But if a little child started to grow and then stopped, we would get concerned. Rightly so. If they never continued to grow beyond that, we would get concerned. We'd say, something's wrong. I don't know what's wrong, but something's wrong. This little one started out perfect and healthy and good and, oh, so cute. But we don't want them to stay there. It's not healthy or good to stay there. If they're not continuing to grow, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Maybe they're not eating. Maybe they're not eating enough. Maybe they're eating the wrong things. This is spiritual, guys. This is so true to the spiritual life. The parallels are uncomparable. If you're not growing spiritually, maybe you're not eating. Maybe you're eating the wrong things. Maybe you're not eating enough. Maybe you're not eating often enough. Because spiritual life continues to grow. God doesn't intend you and I to stay in water to the ankles. God doesn't intend you and I to stay in water to the knees. It's wonderful, it's great, but you have to go on. And if you stop there, you're still enjoying water, but there's so much more. There's so much more. And you and I need to retain that thirst while being filled with water. As the psalmist talks about how much his soul thirsts and longs and aches and pants for the Lord, and yet the very fact that he knows how good the Lord is and that he is thirsty proves that he's already drinking of that. But this is a thirst that ought not to be quenched fully. This is a thirst that is satisfied but yet continues to grow. That is correct. That is proper. If you and I, as believers, begin to plateau and to just get too comfortable settling into our routine and into where we're at, it's a problem. We're going to get into that later on even more. But it's a problem. We are intended by God to continue to grow deeper. Deeper in an understanding of Him. Deeper in the life of Christ Jesus. Fuller in the cooling, satisfying, refreshing, washing of the water of the Word. That ought to become more and more of a thing that we desire and more of a thing that we're growing in and experiencing and walking in. This isn't overnight. You can't jump into the river at ankle deep and show up knee deep a day later. This is a walking with the Lord. And I love how in one of the Psalms it talks about the path of the righteous is as a shining light that shineth more and more and more unto the perfect day. This is a progressive growth in the things of God. You're going to learn more if you're willing to learn more. You're going to go deeper if you're taking those steps and you're continuing to walk faithfully with the Lord. You should be. That's right. That's good. Don't get content with ankle-deep water. There's more. There's knee-deep water. Don't get content with knee-deep water. Here he goes on and he says that he measured another 1,000 cubits and he brought him through the waters and it was to the waist. To the loins, to the waist. This is amazing. We've now gone from no water, from a desert, from dry, without God, without hope, without life, totally destitute, aching, empty husks of a person. And we've been placed in this river of life through the sacrifice of Christ. And we've come to ankle-deep water. And we've come to knee-deep water. And we've come to waist-deep water. And can I say, brothers and sisters, that many Christians never go beyond this point. And it's the saddest thing I believe that you can about ever see. This was the experience of the prodigal son's brother. He knew his father. He had a little bit of an understanding of his father. He lived with his father. He had some of the good things of his father. He was enjoying them to a certain extent. But he did not continue to grow in his knowledge and his relationship with his Father, and he plateaued, and he didn't go on from there any further. For years, he remained stagnated at this level, plateaued at this level. I don't know how deep he was. Maybe he was only to the knees. He didn't have a very much of an understanding of the heart of his Father. But brothers and sisters, there's more. There's more. And God desires you to go beyond water to the waste. God has more. And he desires to give you not just Christ, but with him freely to give you all things. All spiritual blessings, all strength and power and might from his Holy Spirit, all this life and water and love and joy and peace, all those things are your inheritance as you're adopted into his spiritual family. And you and I so many times get content to just stop with this wonderful water to the ankles, or this wonderful water to the knees, or this wonderful water to the waist. And it is amazing. It is amazing. Water of life all around you. You can splash in it. You can play. You don't even have to bend over to touch it anymore. This water to the waist is just incredible. It's water that could never run dry. It's clear as crystal. It's life-giving. It's cleansing. It's satisfying. It's fulfilling. It's amazing. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. God has more for you and for me through Jesus Christ, his Son. And he expects and desires that we would go on. Don't stop with water to the waist. As amazing and good as it is, don't stop there. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. What he means by that is he couldn't walk over it. It was too deep to stand. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. You can't ignore a river like that. This isn't a creek anymore. This isn't a pretty little babbling brook. This isn't a nice little creek coming through your backyard. This is a river that you can't walk across. It's water you have to swim in. If you're going to get into this river, you're going to have to be willing to let go of your securities. You're going to have to be willing to let go of your control, of your deep grasp on this solid earth. You're going to have to be willing to allow yourself to be carried by the river. This is the experience of the Christian life. If you're going to go on with God, if you're going to walk with God, there's going to come a point where you're going to have to say, okay, God, you're in control. You're in charge, and I can't touch anymore. I can't grab onto anything anymore. There's nothing, no control of me anymore in this. I am willing, and I take that step, and I begin to swim in this river of God. Unparalleled. Unparalleled. You can't imagine when you're standing out in the desert having an entire cup of water all to yourself, much less water to the ankles, water to the knees, water to the waist, or water that you can't even touch the bottom in. Brother and sister, let me challenge you to go on and plunge in. The water's great. Plunge in. Be willing to let go, to trust God, to allow Him to be all and in all and totally in control, and you floating in His will, dependent solely on His direction. The current at that point is what carries you. You're not walking anymore. You can't touch. And that is a great place to be. That is a great place to be. I think of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where he says, he compares being led or filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He compares it to being drunk out of your mind. He says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you see a drunk man, he's not really in control of his body anymore. He's kind of staggering around. He's not really sure where everything is. He's not the one making all the decisions physically around him anymore. He's very subservient to that alcohol that he's succumbed to. And here, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, says that's how you and I are supposed to become in relation to the Holy Spirit of God, that He's in control. And He's the one calling the shots. And I'm not the one in charge anymore. I'm not deciding where we go, when we go, how we go. I'm not the one hanging on to something going, well, I'll walk that direction as long as we can stay close enough I can keep hold of this. I'll walk that direction as long as I can still touch. But as soon as I get to the edge where I can't touch anymore, I'm going to stop and I'm going to start backing up. That is the experience, the reality of many believers all through history and in our day. When it comes to the point where you have to be willing to let go and surrender and let God, that is a crucial moment. It's going to take confidence and trust and faith in God. But that is the moment where your life will begin to produce if you go forward. Listen, as we go on in verse 7, he said in verse 6, he brought him back to the brink of the river so he could see this stuff. He says, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. This is the point where the river has begun to produce abundant life. Once you lose control. Oh, there's life before that. But this is the point where he suddenly noticed there's trees on both sides of the river. There's foliage. It's green. It's alive. It's healthy. It's living. It's vibrant. Verse 8, then said he unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. Do you know the Spirit of God, the water of life? If it comes into you, you shall live. Everywhere this river goes, if it comes into contact with and enters into a potentially living being, it shall live. This is reproduction. This is spiritual reproduction. This isn't just me anymore. God is now using this river of life, which He's placed inside of me, to bring life to others. And even the sea, which is, I believe, a picture of the world around me. The world as a whole. Not that every single person in the world is going to be saved. But God is now moving this river forward, and it is now bringing life to the sea. It's bringing life through the desert. It's bringing life everywhere it touches. Life is springing up. Whithersoever the river shall come, he says, it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. Christ's life produces more life. Life, spiritual life, is intended to produce more spiritual life. The life of Christ in me is intended to be producing life around me. Many fish makes me think of Jesus talking about how you will be fishers of men. Verse 10, he says, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Engalem, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. This is not just a little trickle anymore coming out from under the altar. This is a torrent of life of God impacting the world. But here's a warning. Here's a warning in verse 11. But the miry places thereof and the marishes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. It's amazing that this life-giving, living water of life, which brings life everywhere it goes, does not have the same effect if I stop allowing it to flow through me and flow out of me. If I begin to just go, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy my sonship. I'm not going to allow the love of Christ to be showed to the people around me. I'm just going to enjoy it and hoard it all to myself. I'm not going to continue to keep going. I'm going to just stop. I'm just going to stand here. When the river stops, it becomes a miry place and a marsh, and it's given to salt. It's given over to just stagnant, almost uninhabitable. Just, yeah, there's water there. Great. Nobody wants to drink it. It's not worth anything. There's no life there. There's really not hardly any animals that can live, any creatures, water creatures that can live in a really super salty, closed-in spot. Certainly no freshwater creatures. This is what happens. This is what can happen when the water of life stops moving forward. When you and I stop continuing to walk with the Lord. When we stop continuing to let His goodness and His mercy and His love and His patience and His kindness to others flow out of us. Jesus didn't just say to the woman at the well, you won't thirst again. He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This isn't just for you. It will satisfy you and quench your thirst and bless you, but it's not just for you. It's intended to flow on, to produce more life. And if you and I stop and get too comfortable and stagnate and don't continue to go on with the Lord, we can turn into marshes and miry places and swamps. There's water there, but it's not very alive. It's amazing that the water of life can happen with the life-giving water of life. He goes on in verse 12, he says, "And by the river upon the banks thereof, on this side and on that, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issue out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for the meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." Does that sound familiar? It sounds almost word for word quote from Psalm 1 about he who finds his delight in the law of the Lord. His leaf shall not wither. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf won't wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's almost word for word here. He talks about how his leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. That's what God intends to happen in yours and my life for his honor and glory. How deep will you go with Christ? How far will you go? Will you trust him enough to go beyond where you can touch? Will you trust him enough to surrender yourself wholly to him, not just once, but as a way of life? Will you trust him enough to go so far beyond where you could touch that it's not even visible anymore in the background, to follow him into the desert, to follow him to the sea, to let him direct the course of my life? Am I willing to lose control? Am I going to remain a channel of blessing to others, or am I going to become a marsh? Am I going to stop in my walk with God? Or am I going to go on? Because water to the ankles is great, but water to the knees is better. And water to the knees is great, but water to the waist is better. And water to the waist is great, but water that you can swim in is better yet. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14 to 19, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth and heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God." I love how Paul here again is showing a progression. He's talking about being strengthened. He's talking about beginning this walk with Christ and walking in him and dwelling in him. Now he's talking about going deeper, being rooted and grounded in love. And then he says, so that you can comprehend how big the love of Christ is. And then he says, but really, it passes all knowledge. It passes all understanding. The further you go, the more you're going to realize you can't possibly comprehend it. It passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. How much is that? How much is that? How much is the fullness of God? No man this side of glory has ever or will ever know. I think of standing on the shore of an ocean and you look out and you see the water and you might see, maybe on a clear day, you might see 5 miles. You go, wow, that's a long way out there. That's a lot of water. I'm going to start swimming. You go and you start swimming and you start going. Eventually, if you're a strong enough swimmer, if you could swim forever and not tire out, you're going to get to a point where you look back and you can't see the shore anymore. But guess what? You still can't see that shore. There's no end. That's how it is walking with Christ. The further you go, the more you realize, I don't know the half yet. I don't know anything yet. And that is God's desire for you and for I, to grow and to have our horizons expanded, our spiritual understanding expanded, so that we can see just how big and deep and wide and full, and then to realize, to go on and be expanded so much more that we realize it passes knowledge. I can't possibly even know the fullness of God, but He wants to dwell in me. And there comes a point where we're not in the river anymore. The river's in us. Fully. And that will be such an amazing day when He washes away this flesh, the restraints of this life and this flesh and this body, and we are fully complete in Him. Completed. But brother and sister, I want to challenge you this morning. How far will you go? How deep will you go? Are you going to be content with this amazing water to the ankles? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this morning. And Lord, I thank You for Your word, and it's so alive and vibrant and powerful. And Father, I pray this morning that You would give us just a little bit more of a glimpse of the fullness of God that He wants to overwhelm us with. And Lord, that You would continue to strive with us to continue to go on with You and to go deeper and further and to abandon our own control, to abandon our grasping after being in charge, and to let You be in control and to let You live Your life through us. And Lord, to be fruitful spiritually for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.